During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. We are live on location today. We're out at Legends Field. Out of course, if you're in Kansas City, of course, it's in the Legends area. We are at where the Monarchs play, home of the Monarchs, as well as the National Women's Soccer League, Kansas City Women's Sports Soccer League. Darren Smith with you. Of course, we have my co-host, Mr. Sterling. Where is he at?
Oh, baby, the Chris Collinsworth sliding over here. If you're only listening to this on the radio, you're really missing the importance of that slide-in.
But you didn't slide, you just walked over.
It was a walk. I'm not Chris Collinsworth. I'm not there yet.
What?
I have like 30 years to hone my slide-in skills, Darren.
You could at least two-step in over. But, look, we're live from Legends Field. We'll be joined by Monarchs owner Mark Brandmeier in just a little bit. He's doing the circuit right now, doing the interviews. And we'll also be joined by the host of the W, Mr. Steve Walls, a little bit later on as we discuss, some of the leaks that's been going on. It's supposed to be, of course, 7 o'clock tonight where the NFL schedule is released. But, of course, teams just can't seem to just, keep a secret, and they're leaking things along the way. So we'll talk to Steve about some of the games that the Chiefs are scheduled to face later on this year. But, Sterling, your first impression being out here at Legends Field?
This is amazing. They have completely revamped everything. If you've been to T-Bone's games before, it's always been fun. But this new Monarch Stadium, Legends Field, is just beautiful. Everything is exciting. It's new. It's fresh. If you kind of get that feeling when you go to Royals games and Chiefs games, what are you supposed to do post-game? You know, you tailgate pre-game, sure, but post-game, what do? At least here, you have Legends, you have bars, you have all this stuff around here.
You got the casino.
You got the casino for Darren. It's good for families, for friends, kids. It's a really cool environment.
What I like about this is, of course, the partnership that they've decided to make with the Negro League Baseball Museum. And, they have their caps, their uniforms, a lot of the stuff, just the ambiance of it, with their tip to the Negro Leagues. They do stuff with the Monarchs Youth Academy. They got all new suites. They got a new Legends Club. As we were given a little brief tour when we got here, Sterling, you saw where they gutted out the area where they're going to be hosting parties and suites and stuff like that. And, again, like I said, the makeover, what they're doing, and, they still haven't even, they haven't even completed most of what they're trying to do. They're talking about having, I don't want to reveal everything. We'll wait till the owner comes.
It's allegedly, Darren. These are all allegedly until we hear it from the owner's mouth.
And so we'll be joined again by Mark Brandmeier in just a little bit. We'll talk with him about that. But, Sterling, before we get to Steve in the second segment, just want to get your thoughts on some of the early leakage of the NFL schedule and what you thought. We saw where the Chiefs are going to be opening up against the Cleveland Browns the first week of the season. This is, of course, the first game for the Cleveland Browns since their last game at Arrowhead Stadium. One of the things we talked about prior to this was that with the additions that the Browns would have on defense with the Jadeveon Clowney, and of course they'll probably have Odell Beckham back in time for this particular game, this is going to be a much stronger Cleveland Browns team. I think that they will get better as the season progresses. I think it's good for the Chiefs and important for the Chiefs to get them out the way in week number one.
Yeah, let's hope we don't have to have Chad Henne go in for to win the game for Kansas City this time around. It's fun. It's great for the NFL to have a good team week one playing another good team. It wouldn't be as fun if, say, it was like the Giants or the Bengals. Remember we talked about the Bengals?
Well, I wanted the Bengals to get that out the way.
But it's more fun for the NFL. They're not doing that. NFL, it's all about money. What brings in money? A revamped Cleveland Browns team going up against the AFC champions. So this is going to be a really fun matchup. I'm really excited for it. I don't know how it always gets leaked. It's always these alleged leakages. It's supposed to be 7 p.m. and we find out at what? Noon?
No, we've had this morning. Look, Steve got people.
Steve's out here.
I had to give Steve credit. Steve texted this morning with a little Google document, and I'm like, what is this, man? I'm thinking it's a virus.
Do you trust him, though?
I trust him enough.
You trust him, okay.
I trusted him enough to open it up.
He just did it himself on an Excel spreadsheet. He just did his best guesses, sent it to you, and then said, here you go.
Yeah, and he's been pretty accurate thus far, so that's the most amazing thing. So I don't know what kind of sources Steve has. We'll try to see if we can poke the bear when we get him on. But look, I got to tell you, though, the most interesting matchup is literally going to be open at night. Of course, you got the Dallas Cowboys traveling to Tampa Bay. The Bucks, they'll be hoisting up their banner. And, of course, this looks as if the way the NFL is talking, it looks like it's going to be 100% capacity for all teams. I know, we'll wait as we get closer to it, but the idea behind everything is at 100% capacity at all the stadiums, so they're going to be selling tickets later on the night after the schedule is released and announced. But that being the case, Cowboys, Bucks to start the season off September 9th on NBC, man, what are your thoughts about that game?
Big game. As much as we don't like the Cowboys, they have a huge following.
I do like the Cowboys. I just don't, but it's
why
hard
don't you like the
eight,
Cowboys?
Man.
You're one of the few that the Cowgirls, I should say.
If the Cowboys are good, that's good for the NFL.
I agree.
If they're good, and look, Dak and Ezekiel's rookie year, they had the best record in the league. They didn't get as far as Cowboys fans would have hoped. But I think it's a big game. We get to see the return of Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Get to see what he's going to look like, now that his future is secure down, at least for the next 4 years. Get to see what that new-look defense is going to look like. I know they're going to be real youthful. Got a lot of young players. We get a chance to see what Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox are going to be able to bring at the linebacker position for this team. And we'll see whether or not, eight defensive players that they drafted, whether or not they make the team and can compete, because they're going to need all the speed and usefulness that they're going to get going up against Tom Brady and all 22 returning starters of the Super Bowl.
It's not the toughest matchup for the Tampa Bay. It's not like when, the Patriots had to play the Chiefs. Like, that was a tough matchup for the Patriots, for the defending champs. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be – I think they win the NFC East, but that's a low bar. I do think the Cowboys win the NFC East, but I don't think they're going to be some team that's going to end up going 12-4, 11-5. I think if they're in another division, they're probably missing the playoffs. They're lucky because they're in the NFC least.
Yeah, and of course, the Chiefs will play the Cowboys. We haven't, that is one of the few games that hasn't been leaked yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. We don't play them on Thanksgiving. They do host the Las Vegas Raiders on Thanksgiving. So that's going to be interesting, of course, if you're a Chiefs fan. You're going to watch that game with interest for obvious reasons. It looks like, we'll talk more about it with Steve, but I don't want to give everything away.
I'll tell you this, Darren. Why can't we be on the field right now? I'm out here trying to hit dingers off you. I told Steve to throw me BP, because, again, we're here at Legends Field. I told Steve, throw me some BP. Let me take him deep. It's only 328 to right.
See, you don't want me throwing it because I might actually hit you.
You're going to hit me. Yeah, you're not even going to try and strike me out.
No,
you're just going to.
On purpose. I just, I'm not as accurate as I used to be. I'm not that young. But, look, man, I mean, there's a lot. When you look at the schedules and stuff, the first game, on the NFC side, you look at the Green Bay Packers taking on, I believe, the New Orleans Saints, I believe it is, that first game. I got to check and see, got to look and see what I made.
Darren's alleged schedule calendar.
Yeah, Green Bay and New Orleans. So we don't know whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to be suiting up for them. And if so, they got a late afternoon game against New Orleans. Or if he somehow ends up in Denver, then they have a late afternoon game at the New York Giants. So, there's a lot of great matchups that we're looking forward to. If things are to be expected or to go as expected, we're going to be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers September 26th, which, again, I was thinking going to be in L.A. at that time, so now plans change.
Right, now you're just going to L.A. for fun. You're flying out there just for
time. Well, no, because L.A. comes here. So the Chargers – Steve, Steve is pretty smart because, one of the things, and I'll give you a little credit because they actually changed it. It looks as though Kansas City is going to be playing Baltimore in week number 2 now instead of December 26th.
Didn't they play week 2 last year? Was that last year they played Baltimore week 2? Early on.
I think they played them week 3. I think it was week number 3. Week number 3 because it was a Monday night game. I remember because Steve and I were at Arrowhead during the pregame show when that took place. So,
I just think the NFL at this point almost needs Lamar Jackson to win a game against Kansas City because it's tough to – it's really –
I'm sorry, it's week three.
Week three?
Yeah, it was week three last year.
Okay.
When we played them.
But the NFL almost needs Lamar Jackson to win a game because it's tough to keep promoting this Mahomes-Lamar Jackson rivalry when it's all one-sided. When it's just been Chiefs, it's just been Mahomes. The NFL is almost like, come on, Lamar, win one game. We'll set you up early against Kansas City. Maybe they're not going to be, you know, going on all cylinders yet. I just think that for this rivalry to be the, you know, Peyton, the Tom Brady, the Drew Brees, Lamar needs to at least win one. I don't want it to happen, but for the NFL's sake, they almost need it to happen.
Well, he won't win one until Patrick is ready for him to win one, which won't be for a while. We'll talk more about the NFL schedule release with Steven in our next segment, but looking at the Royals.
Yeah.
The Royals continue to lose games. I think they've lost nine in a row now. I've lost.
Did you see last night's?
I heard about it because, you know, you told me yesterday that the Royals would win.
Yeah.
And that they would, and it would be
go under. Yeah, I'm
under,
wrong.
And they not only lost, but it, the over was just 15. So it was 8-7. And when I last looked at it, I think it was the third inning and the Royals were trailing 7-0. So I just gave up. I gave up on gambling, at least for baseball, when I saw that last night. But, you know, they did try to come back. Jorge Soler has six RBIs.
Yeah, he had a week's worth of production, or a month's work, basically, this year in this last two innings. The eighth and ninth inning were great for the Royals until they blew it in the ninth. It's been just disappointing, honestly. It's just been extremely disappointing. I know folks were saying, well, why did Matheny take out Witt and Salvi early on in the game when they're down 7-0? You take out Salvi. He plays more at catcher than anyone else in the majors. Let him rest up. Get his knees right. Don't throw him out there. I know you can't predict that, but the odds of coming back from 7-0, not great. And again, they came back without those guys in the lineup. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. You would love to have Witt in the lineup in this situation. I get it. It's just realistically it's a tough task to come back from 7-0. They did it, and then they blew it. It's almost a bigger letdown when you come back from that far.
Yeah, well, we had talked about a little bit about it yesterday about the Royals and their slump, but what is it that they're missing? Because we talked about the bats not coming alive, especially the last few games that they played at home. Then all of a sudden, the first game on the road, the pitching, you know, had them down 7-0, 8-0 before the bats decided to wake up and try to get back into the ballgame. But what is it? You know, I don't know if you can put your finger on, but why is it that Kansas City just can't seem to score these runs? Granted, they did yesterday, but why now? Why so late?
Everything. Everything's going off right now. They're terrible in timely situational hitting. That's what made the 14-15 Royals so great was guy on second base, less than 2 outs, move him over, get him in. Guy on third base, less than 2 outs. You know he's getting in. You know someone's going to drive him in. This team is struggling. How many times have we seen guy on third base, less than 2 outs, strikeout, pop up? I mean, we've seen it time and time again. The starting pitching has not been great outside of Danny Duffy. Singer's been good for the most part until last night's debacle. They've struggled. The bullpen isn't as staunch as maybe a lot of us thought. Obviously, Wade Davis has struggled a lot, and I'm surprised he's kind of still there. But just in general, this team is, when things go wrong, everything goes wrong. It's not one phase. It's everything going wrong at once.
Royals return to the field tonight, hopefully looking to snap that 9-game losing streak.
Yeah.
The 16-17 on the year, they may not see 500 again if they continue to play like this.
I'll ask you this, though. If you were told after 33 games the Royals would be, you know, one game under 500, I think you would take that. If you start this season
But it would depend. I mean, if they were going to be under 500 or one game under 500 because they lost 9 games in a row,
yeah,
that'd be different than, you know, okay, they win 3, lost 2, when, you know, lost 3, won 4. It'd be different if it's something like that. But when you lose 9 games in a row, I mean, that starts to mess with your psyche.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because what happens is you're trying to figure out, like you did yesterday, you come back and you still fall 8-7 after finding yourself down for so long. You get back and it's still not enough. Now you start to think, well, what can we do to win? So, I would take it, but it would be in the manner of how it came.
Yeah. Yeah, the inconsistencies have just been so alarming this entire season. Ben Intendi's finally starting to turn it around to the plate. He's been good, and you know, Carlos Santana's been drawing his walks, but just no one is hot at the same time. It's like you'll have one or two guys producing. Like early on, it was Michael Taylor. You know, then it was Carlos Santana. Then it was Ben Intendi. You know, Whit and Salvi had their moments, but now it's like someone does something one game, it's only one guy. And it's just you got to have more that you got to string together hits. There's not a ton of, you know, there's some power on this team, don't get me wrong, but they're not, no one's going to mistake him for the New York Yankees. They're not going to hit a record today amount of home runs. They need to string together hits.
All right, what we're going to do, we're going to send it back to Bivens. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick timeout. Going to take a commercial early. We're going to come back with Mr. Steve Walls. We're going to talk more about this NFL schedule, games and matchups to look out for. And then maybe before the end of the show, we'll be joined by Monarchs owner Mark Brandmeier. You're tuned in to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. All right, welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 15:10 a.m., live from Legends Field. Darren Smith, Sterling Holmes. We are now joined by what they call the man, the myth, the legend. They call him Mr. Steve Walls, host of the W. You can catch him out on Saturday mornings on 100.1 FM. Steve, good afternoon to you.
What's happening? It's a beautiful day.
What's your thoughts of Legends Field? I know that you said it's your first time being here, so what's your thoughts on the stadium?
Well, it's not my first time being here for the it's my first time being here for baseball, but I was here probably about 7 years ago. Eddie Kennison, he had his walk here.
We were both here for that, but I
hadn't been on the inside, you know, while they have it for baseball. So, yeah, I think it's a beautiful atmosphere, man. You know, it feels like home, really, because I grew up playing baseball. So, yeah, it's a good atmosphere out here.
And I know your son Peyton plays baseball, so you can one day play out here for a state championship or RBI title.
Well, it's Kansas, so they wouldn't play state out here. Yeah. Hopefully, they'd be playing out in Mizzou somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. That's a rock bridge.
Exactly. Okay. But yeah, no, he's a baseball guy, and that's why we love swinging the bats, man.
Steve, look, man, I wanted to get your thoughts. Of course, you and I we cover the Chiefs and. Mm-hmm. The schedule release that has come out thus far shows that the first six games for Kansas City, they're going to be hosting Cleveland, on the road against Baltimore, hosting the Chargers, on the road against Philly, hosting Buffalo on a Sunday night football, and then the following week, traveling on the road to Washington, then probably a bye week, and then a week after you've got, unless they schedule it, but you've got the New York Giants on a Monday night game, and then, of course, the Green Bay Packers the following week. Your thoughts thus far on the schedule release?
It's going to be, when I looked it up, they have, I think they're tied for 11th for strength of schedule this season. But when you think about it, they have the first three games off the bat are going to be tough games.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Cleveland isn't the same Cleveland that we witnessed, you know, four or five years ago.
And to be honest, literally the first five out of six, like, you know, I don't know about Philly, but Washington had the number two ranked defense. So, you know, and then, of course, Buffalo, who they face in the AFC Championship game. I mean, you know, that's going to be, you know, a battle, you know. And looking at, of course, the team faced Baltimore and Buffalo last year. They went on the road, I think, for both of them. And then, you know, so now they're hosting them here this year. Why do you think that those games are going to be, I guess, a little bit tougher than what the bettors or gamblers are thinking that it's going to be?
Because it's like this. We talked to a lot of the players all last season. You're going to get every team's best.
Yeah.
They know that the Chiefs are the team to beat, especially when you have Patrick Mahomes back there playing. So, that's why you're going to get a game like Buffalo or like Washington where you're like, oh, well, the Chiefs should definitely manhandle those teams. But no, they're going to come out there and play because they know if they can match up to the Chiefs well, then that means a lot for it brings life to their season. So I think, you know, going forward with this Chiefs team, they have to be ready for everybody. You can't just look forward, look down the schedule and say, oh, well, we got W's here, we got W's here. No, you got to take every game as you know, they're coming out there to beat you.
You know, so like, because I know Steve and I, we've asked players, like, do you, you know, I know they don't normally admit it, but they do say they look at the schedule and they always figure out where they can get a W at. like Steve said, I think since the rise of Patrick when he won the MVP back in 2018, everybody on the AFC side is using the Chiefs as a measuring stick
of where they are
and where they need to be. Like you said, I think Cleveland made the best improvement or has the best overall team coming into the season on both sides of the ball that should be able to go toe-to-toe with Kansas City.
Yeah, Cleveland's like that. Like the ugly girl that got hot. That's what they did. They're the ugly duckling that grew up, and all of a sudden, they're finally blossoming. And like you said, the AFC, the Chiefs are the standard.
Yeah.
When you hear teams, when you hear announcers, the national media, it's always, how do they compare with the Chiefs? How does Buffalo compete with Kansas City? How does Baltimore get past Kansas City? It's always what the measuring stick has been for the past couple of seasons now. And teams like we saw the Raiders. We saw Denver. We're seeing teams try and emulate what Kansas City does, try and find the best way to beat them. I mean, again, no matter what we say, no matter what the schedule says, no matter who the Chiefs play, the AFC still runs through Arrowhead.
Steve, the Chiefs in the Patrick Mahomes era, Andy Reid era with Patrick Mahomes, they're undefeated in September. Patrick Mahomes has never lost a game, never thrown an interception. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, he's still going to go on blemish this fall when you look at the schedule, but Cleveland, as we talked about, you know, I mean, they've, you know, they got Myles Garrett, you know, they added to Davion Clowney. They got more weapons on defense. Of course, you know, I think they drafted well. Looking on the offensive side of the ball, you get Odell Beckham back. Makes that offense more dangerous. Now, we saw how much Baker Mayfield struggled trying to always force the ball to OBJ, but now this time around, I think they'll be able to mesh him and mold him into that system. Still got Kareem Hunt. You still got the other running back, Nick Chubb. I mean, yeah, Andy Reid is pretty good coming off of a bye and coming off, you know, going into the season. But it's going to be a pretty good challenge for Andy Reid.
It will. I mean, because they have from now until week one to prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you're not going to get a banged up Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Those guys are going to be fresh and ready to go. And then it's week one. You guys know you went the first day of school, how you had you laid your outfit out and you were all ready to go. That's what it's going to be like. These guys are going to be like, man, it's week one. We're going to go to Kansas. And then Kareem Hunt coming back to Kansas City.
Yep.
He's going to want to show out.
Game and he scored a touchdown against
He did. And so that's why you're going to, this might be the best game that the Chiefs have this season. They're going to have to play their best game. You're not going to, here's the thing too. They're coming off of a Super Bowl loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, those guys are going to be ready to play. Well, Cleveland, you beat Cleveland to go to the Super Bowl, right? So, they're going to be ready to play. So, I'm not sure why they don't have this game as a primetime game.
It's only an afternoon game, which is, look.
Week one, you got to have them as a Sunday night football game.
Yeah.
You have to.
Well, look, I get it, but I guess my thing for me is that I like late afternoon games, you know.
They're the best. They're fantastic.
I mean, the Chiefs played so many 12 o'clock games throughout our years of covering them that it's like by the time we get home to watch the second game, it's already halftime or it's going to the third quarter.
Right.
At least this time around, you know, we hopefully get back to covering the games. We can watch the first game while we're there before we do our pregame show, Steve, and then we got that. And then, of course, yeah, by the time we finally get through with everything, because we won't probably be in a locker room, still doing Zoom stuff. Okay, we get home. By the time we get home, start a Sunday night football, so we're not really missing anything. I guess I'm looking at it selfishly.
Of course you are. You always do. It's the same thing with games. You're always like, well, why isn't he putting up 40 and 15 for me? Like, it's what you do in your sports gambling. I do want to say, when you were talking about how the Browns have all this time to prepare, the Chiefs do too.
Right.
And that's why I think Kansas City has been so good. They have the advantage. No matter how long other teams have, they have Andy Reid. We know the bye stats. We know him coming off a bye is ridiculous. We know his first game. Opening season, he is just so good at preparing. The Chiefs have one mindset. I just think they're going to come out firing on all cylinders, because when you lose in the Super Bowl, it's the same reason how they lost, you know, on the D Ford offsides. What happened the next year?
Oh, yeah, they were motivated.
One goal. They lose in the Super Bowl. What's going to happen now? I think it's the exact same situation.
Steve, looking at this and looking at this schedule, Cleveland, Baltimore, Chargers. What kind of challenge do you think the Chiefs face when you got Justin Herbert coming in early in the season versus late? Because generally, we've always gone out to California in September for the Chargers game. This time around, Chargers are coming here. It looks like we'll be going out to will be going out there a little bit later on the season. So what do you expect from the Chargers? And then also, Steve, talk about the fact that the Chiefs are selling the tickets for a full capacity. So now this year, compared to last year, you're talking about bringing Baker Mayfield and that team in. You know, you're going to have 76,000 rowdy Kansas City fans ready to get things, you know, ready to get that stadium rocking because they were a year without not being able to fill up that stadium.
Here's the thing about the Chargers coming into Kansas City. Justin Herbert hasn't felt a rocking Arrowhead yet.
Yeah.
Think about it. He hasn't been into a stadium where there's been fans. All last season, there weren't any fans for his – and he was a rookie last year, correct?
Yep.
So it's going to be a different season for him because you're going to have all these fans, especially at Arrowhead. Fans are going to be eager to see this team win. They weren't there last year. You get the parking lot tailgate. It's going to be crazy. And so when Justin Herbert comes in here, it's going to be wild.
17,000 fans versus 76 means the quarterback's not going to be able to call them plays.
Exactly.
It's going to be the John Elway thing where you're complaining and throwing a fit because you can't hear.
And then they just get louder.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be much different.
We're going to take a quick time out. Steve, appreciate your time. We're going to come back. When we come back, we'll be joined by the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs, Mr. Mark Brandmeier. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Darren Smith, Sterling Holmes, we are live from Legends Field, home of the Kansas City Monarchs. And with us, we have a very special guest. He is the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs, Mr. Mark Brandmeier, joining us this afternoon. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time
out. Guys, thank you so much for coming out and really enjoyed having you guys here. And, man, we couldn't have dialed in a better day. This is made for baseball.
And what's interesting, we talked about it yesterday, like we were expecting rain and stuff, and it was so cloudy and stuff. And then coming out of the day, it's just a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day for baseball. So, look, if you get a chance to bring your kids out here tonight, they have first pitch tonight as they continue on with their spring training against Houston at 7 o'clock p.m. So come out here. Obviously, there literally is not a bad seat in this stadium. But first things first, I got to ask, why did you want to take on the task of owning the Kansas City Monarchs?
Well, very exciting to own a minor league baseball team. Never dreamt that we would walk into a pandemic. You know, so I think for all minor league teams, this was a rough last year. And especially for us, we tried to make the best of it. You know, we had the Royals out here and they practiced, their double and triple A team were out here. So we saw, you know, Bobby Witt and some of the great Royals players, which was fun. Unfortunately, we couldn't have any of the other fans out here to watch them, play. But every day about 3 o'clock, there was a 5-7 inning game. So that was fun. But, it gave us a chance to really think about what we were doing and even though the T-Bones had a great history here in Kansas City, the chance to rename the team the Kansas City Monarchs is really a dream come true, and have a partnership with Negro League Baseball Museum and tell the great stories of the Kansas City Monarchs and the Negro League. So,
and to follow up on that, because we've had a Mr. Kendrick on the show before, but, you know, why do that? Like, I mean, what made you want to, like you said, rename the team and then partner up with them? Because – I mean, were you just laying in bed one night and said, you know, I want to do this? Because there's a thought process.
Yeah, you know, so I was never wild about the T-Bones name.
Bank.
And so we tried to be thoughtful about it. And then we went through a kind of a naming exercise, and this name came up to the top of the list. And we thought, how cool would it be for Kansas City to bring this name back? And then after talking with Bob, you know, Bob focuses and the Negro League Museum focuses on all the Negro League teams, so they can't focus on just one. You know, this gives us an opportunity to focus on the Monarchs, which is really the jewel of the Negro League teams. I mean, they were the Yankees, you know, of their day, and so to bring that back and be able to tell that rich history is fantastic. You know, we're a traveling billboard for the Monarchs. Yeah. And so everywhere we go, people are going to think and hear those stories. The broadcasters that broadcast the games in Milwaukee and Chicago and Gary, Indiana, you know, they're going to get to tell all these great stories too, because the Monarchs are on the field. So I think it's great for Kansas City. It's great for baseball history, and allows to tell great stories, which that's what baseball's about.
Yeah. And the good thing is, of course, that we're joined by Mark Brandmeier, the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs, and you'll be able to hear Monarchs baseball games on both Sports Radio 18WHB and ESPN Kansas City. Sterling.
Not only is the team rebranded, but the stadium is just phenomenal. Everything you've done here is outstanding. We got the whole walk through the special behind the scenes tour. It's so cool. It's just different than going to, say, a Royals game.
Right.
If you want to go post game and grab a drink, or in Darren's case, go to the casino, you can. How is it that you've done this and built this up so it's good for families, good for kids, good for adults? You have a target market. Yeah, the local economy. You're reaching out with local vendors. How have you done this and made it so local still?
Well, this is a gem here in Wyandotte County. So we were really thoughtful about how we went about it. You know, being the Monarchs, we wanted to, first of all, change the paint color to Fenway Green, which puts you in mind of an old-time ballpark, but with a lot of new features, you know. So we're featuring barbecue here. We're featuring beer, daiquiri, all kinds of fan-friendly areas for people to come out and enjoy. Tonight you can come out for $5 and enjoy the stadium and watch some great baseball. But our home opener is May 18th, and we're really encouraging people to come out and support us. And then we have a six-game homestand, so there's going to be lots of opportunities to come out that whole week and enjoy baseball.
Look, you partner with the Monarchs, with the youth academy and stuff like that. What do you all do? Like, what's your
The Urban Youth Academy is a Royals Charities organization, and they do an incredible job. They're primarily focused in Jackson County, although they have some spillover in Wyandotte County, and we have we've really partnered with them to really focus on Wyandotte County and to really teach baseball and softball to the youth of Wyandotte County, but also we also have a jobs program that takes people from high school on through a career in sports, whether it be broadcasting or whether it be field training, food and beverage, or stadium operations. So you'll see a lot of interns running around here, and this is their opportunity, just like all of us learn from somebody. You know, it's nice to introduce them to this great field of business.
So I want to ask, so what has been some of the best experience of being a minor league owner? And I guess besides the pandemic, what would you say have been some of your biggest challenges?
Well, I mean, the relationships that you develop in a situation like this, and some of the great things that you can do. You know, we're doing things for charities that I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to do. Both promote them and put a focus on them, and then enhance them from the Negro Leagues. But we're also working with the Rotary Youth Club or camp. We're doing a focus on literacy, a lot of different programs throughout the year. You'll see us being able to give back to the community and bring this community together. You know, the biggest challenge was really this pandemic. You know, like a lot of people, you know, I sat here in March and thought, you know, oh, by May, we'll be past
it. We'll be good.
We'll be good.
2 weeks.
And then I thought, oh, by July, for sure.
When it heats up.
When it heats up, you know, we're going to be past. Never dreaming that it would last this long. But God bless this nation that we've come through this, and hopefully we're starting to see the other side. Wyandotte County has shown great leadership in allowing us to open with 100%. And not wear masks. Although we're going to have areas for people to socially distance and wear masks, but they've done a great job of getting people vaccinated. I know our whole staff is vaccinated. All of our players are vaccinated, and so that leadership has been really strong. And I know Sporting and the Racetrack have followed suit. So
as far as on-field performance goes, 7 major leaguers who played in the majors on the roster. A lot of guys play double A, triple A. I think some people may have a misperception of, you know, the talent level is so far off, but these are actual major league, triple A, double A, big name guys. I mean, What is your goal? What does your on-field performance look like going forward this season?
Well, you know, so these guys make a sacrifice to come here. This is their summer, and instead of doing whatever else they could be doing, and their goal is to get back to the major league. Already we've had seven players that we've signed that now we've passed on to major league clubs. One of our, you know, Kansas City fan favorites was Christian Colon, who arguably has had some of the most clutch hits in Royals history. You know, he had he not been with our organization, maybe he wouldn't have gotten showcased and then and got pulled up. So that's what we're trying to do for all of these guys. But you're going to see guys who are playing hard, who are training hard all week, and they throw the ball hard and hit the ball hard. So it's going to be a fun squad to watch.
Mark Brandmeier, the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs, joining us on Darren and Stone today here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Mr. Brandmeier, just, you know, we talked about some of the upgrades and the amenities that you have here, but can you speak on like some of the remodels that you all have been doing? I know, I guess what used to be suites is more of an open area.
Yeah. So we've taken all of our left field suites and we've turned it into the Legends Club, which will kind of put you in mind of Craft and Draft, where you can go in there. Food and beverage tickets. So once you pay for it, all you can eat, all you can drink, and
to my ears.
Yeah, right. and so you can just go up there and enjoy yourself. But there's not a bad seat in the house.
No.
I mean, any place you sit in this stadium, you're going to be right on top of the game. And for a price that, you know, you really couldn't get at any other ballpark. And so also bring your kids out here. We got a play set, which is right by the beer garden, which would be handy for me.
Yeah, there you go.
And then to see these guys in the pinstripes for the first time, it gives you goosebumps.
How's the reception been for you all since you've taken over, and then, you know, bringing back with all the remodeling and all the things that you all are doing? How's the reception been here locally?
You know, it's been great. So, you know, we're also hosting soccer. So believe it or not, we turn this into a soccer pitch 14 times a year, and to see it as a soccer pitch, you wouldn't have believed it was a baseball diamond.
Well, it's funny because walking in, of course, when you walk in, you do see home of the Monarchs and the National Women's Soccer League, and I'm like, and we were walking, getting ready to come up, and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to envision, because I see some of the lines, but I'm like, I'm trying to envision this whole soccer thing and how they converted over. And I saw a video of it online, but it's still something when you see it here in person, like, okay, I'm trying to figure out, you got all this dirt and stuff.
Well,
like, where's it all going?
Yeah, for them, it is about an 18-hour job that we have to go through, but basically we have to remove all the bases and the pitcher's mound and put in turf, and then get that turf to grow. We have some magic that we put on it that gets it to grow, and then paint it up as a soccer pitch, and then we bring out bleachers, and it really looks like a soccer pitch. And so different than how Sporting, and we can host 10,000 people here for a soccer game, and we're hoping we fill this place up.
Oh yeah,
I know you have some concerts that we were talking about.
Yes.
Concerts here would be a fantastic experience.
This is going to be a great venue for concerts, and we're looking to do some boxing. Ooh. Also. So this is a great venue for both of those activities. You could put a stage right on the second base, and the music, the sound is great, and you have not a bad seat in the house, so hopefully we're going to bring some tremendous acts here to Kansas City, both local. We're talking with some local guys, and then some national acts also.
Before we get out of here, you know, what do you want to, you know, what's the last impression that you want to leave with your fans when they come out and experience this?
You know, I think that's really just to encourage them to come give this a shot. Just come out here one time and feel what it's like to be in a ballpark like this, and I know you're going to want to come back.
Yeah, I mean, and I was telling someone, like, I used to bring my nephew out here when they were the T-Bones, and like I said, not a bad seat in the house. The food is great. I mean, just the atmosphere, you get a chance, and I haven't seen them. I don't know if you have a mascot or anything yet, because I haven't seen one, but But just the fact that just the interaction, even between, you know, the players and stuff that you're not really going to get at a major, you know, at a major league just because of the distance. But I mean, this is a great place to bring the kids. It's clean. It's just, and you get a good view just from where we are. I mean, you just get a chance to see out. You see the city, you see obviously the Dave and Buster's. You can't miss that.
Yeah, it's almost an urban feel from up here.
Yeah.
You do kind of feel like you.
I mean, this is a major,
you know,
this is a major league. This is a major league feel.
You get a more urban feel here than you do at Kauffman.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
for
honestly,
sure.
You do.
You're not looking at I-70. You're not really looking out. Right.
Yeah.
But I just really encourage people to come out here and give this a shot, and you won't be disappointed.
Mr. Brandmeier, we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so very much.
Yep. This is Mark Brandmeier, the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back to end the show. You're listening to Darren Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510. You know, we might have to come back to that song every time.
You have the Prince purple on too.
You got the purple on.
Yeah.
Shout out to Beers, knowing what kind of music to play coming back in. We're gonna switch over to Beards' point of expertise. That's the NBA. LeBron James returning to the court tonight, Sterling.
Yeah.
Beards. What are you all expecting LeBron to do?
To complain a lot. I expect a lot of complaints.
He's not playing the Mavericks and Luka.
At least four, look at the refs, throw your hands up, and then give that bewildered face of what's going on here. I expect a couple of those.
Really?
Beards,
what about you, Beards? What you expecting in LeBron's return tonight?
I mean, it's the Rockets, so... gonna win.
He didn't come back yesterday. I mean, he could have came back against a stronger team yesterday, but decided to sit it out in case they lost.
I do just want to point out though that the Lakers have been whining and complaining about the play-in game being dumb now that they're in the play-in game, and ever since then, LeBron's missed all of the games but like one, and Anthony Davis I think missed a couple of them as well. So it really shows that they're really worried about the play-in game, guys.
Yeah,
and it looks like Anthony Davis is going to miss the game tonight. I think he hurt his groin or his groin was tight yesterday. Now, look, man, I like AD. I thought AD was a catalyst as to why they won the title last year. But, Beers, that man cannot stay healthy, man. And that really, I don't know if that goes to desire or if he got his ring now that he feels like he doesn't have to give it his all, but... Yeah, Anthony Davis is paper thin to me right now.
And I
think the slightest little breathe on the man, and he's going to be out for two or three games in the series.
He's only played over 70 games twice in his career, and that was both in New Orleans. Now, last year they had a shortened season, but he still played 62 of them.
Wow.
This year has not been good, though, for him, health-wise.
No. I think the Lakers should be somewhat worried. They haven't played a lot together with AD and LeBron.
Now you got Andre Drummond.
I don't think their supporting cast is fantastic. They're going to have a lot tougher road. Again, I'm not worried about them losing the playoff game. That's not what I'm saying. But they're going to have to play a good team early on in the playoffs, whether that's the Suns, whether that's the Jazz, whether that's even the Denver Nuggets without Jamal Murray going up against Nikola Jokic. That's a tall task. I mean, it's not – an easy route for the Lakers.
Hey, but fellas, check this out, though. We saw what the Golden State Warriors did the last two nights. I mean, what they won the last two games against the two best teams in the West. There's no guarantee if the Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors as it relates to getting into the actual playoffs, that they can actually win that game. I mean, they could essentially find themselves eliminated in the, during the playing games.
I think the Lakers have steamrolled the Warriors for the most part this year. It's just a bad matchup with Anthony Davis there. But I mean, like, yes, it's a bad idea if you're in a playing game for your life and Steph Curry is hotter than Hades right now. Like, that's not something I want to experience, but they should, if that ends up happening, they should be able to handle that pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, Steph's out here putting up 45 a night, it seems like. He's just absurd at this point. In the East, a team I wouldn't want to play is the Knicks. Right now, it's a rock fight, man.
Yeah.
I mean, when you play the Knicks, expect two guys to get injured and expect Julius Randle to just bully ball time and time again. I mean, Julius Randle was hitting threes in dudes' eyes last night. The one that made it, what was it, 99-96 at that point?
Yeah.
I mean, the Knicks are a tough team. It's weird saying that at this point, but they've bought into that city mantra. They're tough. They're physical. If you're the Nets, if you're the Sixers, if you're Milwaukee, I would not want to play the Knicks.
Yeah, right. I mean, right now, if you look at it, the Knicks are probably the most healthiest team on in the East. Because I mean, if you look at the Nets, if Kevin Durant's not hurt, then James Harden is hurt. If James Harden hurt, then of course Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving went down with an injury last night. Possible concussion, they said, facial contusion or something that took place last night when he got elbowed, I think, in the face. When he got elbowed in the face. But, I mean, to me, I was saying that the New Jersey Nets or the Brooklyn Nets were going to be the favorite to win the title after acquiring James Harden. But now, I mean, I don't know, because unless they're all healthy in the playoffs, I don't see the Nets getting past the second round, Sterling.
Well, Beards, what do you think of the Knicks here? Am I putting too much stock in the way they play? I know it's not the most talent by any means. I mean, if you're looking at, they may be the seventh most talented team in the East, but just the way they play. Am I putting too much into their physical nature and their style?
A little bit. I mean, like, listen, they're third in defensive rating in the year, which is unbelievable. Yeah. Looking at that team where you go, okay, who's the best defender in here? Is it Nerlens Noel?
Yeah.
But, like, it's really good that they have bought in. I would make Tibbs coach of the year if it were me, just because he's turned this team into this level of good.
Well, and look, something, you know, just like, yeah, you know, just like we were talking about with the Dallas Cowboys. When Dallas Cowboys are good, it makes the NFL better. When the New York Knicks are good, it makes the NBA better. When you got the Knicks and the Lakers good, Celtics good, it doesn't do anything but help the brand out.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today on the radio as well as online. I want to thank Steve Walls for joining us as well as Mark Brandmeier, the owner of the Kansas City Monarchs. Look, once again, come out, Legends Field. They have a first pitch tonight against Houston as they continue their spring training. Tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. For Sterling Holmes, I am Darren Spitz. I want to say thank you to Beards. Back in the studio, we'll be back live in studio on tomorrow. So, for Sterling Holmes, Darren Smith, you've been listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 15:10 a.m. Have a blessed day, social distance, and stay safe.
Let's go hit BP.
Let's do it.